thank you very much for coming out. We're going to get into our panel discussion, which we're talking about the prison system, how to change the prison system. And we're going to start from this end. I'm going to ask each one of the panel. My name is Melvin Ishmael Johnson. I'm going to moderate the panel today. I'm going to ask each one of the panelists to spend about a minute telling about the cell, the organization they represent. And then we're going to go back around and each one of the panelists would have a 10-minute presentation, and then we're going to open it up to you for discussion. Starting.
My name is Fania Baruti. I'm an organizer for an organization called All of Us and None, which is also a project of a new way of life reentry. And my boss, she has 5 transitional homes for women, and we also are part of the FICPM, which is the Formerly Incarcerated People's Movement, and I'll share more of that with you later.
My name is Kevin Michael Key. I'm a Skid Row advocate. I live and work in this community. I got clean and sober in this community. I'm a former criminal defense attorney. I don't think I need that. I'm representing today Critical Resistance Los Angeles, which is a prison industrial complex abolitionist organization. We don't think, just like you couldn't reform the institution of slavery, you can't reform the modern day equivalent of slavery, which is the prison industrial complex. That doesn't just mean the prisons themselves, that means all the feeder systems. I'm also here representing an organization that goes by the acronym CURB, C-U-R-B. That stands for Californians United for a Responsible Budget. All of Us and None are part of that. And I will talk about that and also about realignment, prison realignment. And so that's what I'm doing here today. Thank you.
Hi, my name's Keith James. I'm not here representing an organization as such. I'm a revolutionary activist. I distribute Revolution newspaper. And especially over the past, say, month and a half, when there's been a prison hunger strike.
Can you use the mic?
Please? Sure. Yeah. Did you hear the first part? Okay. My name's Keith James. I'm a revolutionary activist. I'm not here representing any organization as such. I distribute Revolution newspaper. I'll speak of it. I distribute Revolution newspaper. And one of the reasons I think that Melvin invited me here today to speak is that over the past month and a half, people here might know that there has been a prison hunger strike in the California state prison system. Extremely significant. And I hope we get into it today. I mean, maybe another reason is that this paper has been, there was an effort to ban this paper at the Pelican Bay State Prison in 2009 and 2010, and there was a major political and legal battle to overturn the ban of this newspaper. The paper goes into the prison system, 1,000 subscribers across the United States, 50 in Pelican Bay State Prison. It's having a tremendous effect among prisoners, including prisoners in the security housing units at Pelican Bay.
Okay, thank you, Keith. And I think the audience wants you to use the mic. Okay with it. Okay, so right now we're going to go into our 10-minute presentation. Before we get into that, let me just mention a few little comments that I would like for us to get off into for the 3 panelists to think about and deal with. The first point is, what would it take to get an educational system in place to retrain prisoners to re-enter the community? You know, like find a job. I hope you have a chance to touch on that. Also, what is the most pressing need of people coming out of prison? Touch on that. Also, how can the community affect change in the prison system? Okay, first, Fanya Baruti is going to make a 10-minute presentation. Fanya.
Go, baby.
There's some deep questions to be answered. The first thing that I know that needs to be done, which we're doing with the formerly incarcerated people's movement, formerly incarcerated convicted people's movement, is that we just had a meeting here in Los Angeles and Watts at the WLCAC with brothers and sisters from across the country. We're having a gathering on November the 2nd. And what we're doing across this nation is we're asking for ban the box, which is for employers to take off the app on the application, have you ever been convicted of a felony? And that's been going real well across this country. We just got that established in Compton. The first implementation was July 1st. This movement that we have a platform that speaks to who we are and what we do. And one of the things that we're doing is when we talk about community development, one of our statements is this: we state clearly that our pain should not be used for economic gain. Prisons have been considered as economic development projects for the communities where they are built, often in rural areas far from I actually was going to go off the top of my head on most of this, but I don't know why I'm nervous, because I'm used to speaking.
Right?
I'm used to speaking in front of audiences.
That's right.
Often from urban centers where most people are arrested. A major aspect to the development of a human being going into the prison system is that inside there are some conditions, such as what the hunger strike was started from, that is considered torture. When we talk about education, when we talk about vocational training, they don't want us to have that. They don't want us to be smarter than what we are. They want the conditions inside to be still oppressing. When the worst thing that they possibly could ever have done in the prison system was give TVs, you know. There's less studying going on. So one of the things that we try to put in the minds of those that's inside right now is to begin to educate themselves and read. That is very important. This formerly incarcerated people's movement is also, we're working, our main objective is to restore our civil and human rights. We deal with policies. I just left a meeting today with Assemblywoman Holly Mitchell. And she's dealing with some bills on expungement, on realignment, and in education that speaks to how prisons are not just deteriorating the minds of the people, but when you look at how much time these young brothers and sisters are getting today, it's ridiculous. 400 years, 66 years of life. You know, just ridiculous time. And so the things that we can do that I believe is to formulate together and really have time to know what's going on and to begin to write those letters and send those emails and those everything that you can to our legislators who have the power to do something about change. On the 23rd of this month, there's going to be a busload, carload, vanloads of people going down to Sacramento for a hearing on this torture that's going on in our prison system. When it comes down to employment for when they come home, one of the things that has to be done is that we have to make a way for them. I'm involved with an organization called Repower LA, where we're tackling the DWP, which 40% of their employees will be retiring. And we're saying that those jobs need to go to people of color. We're saying that those jobs need to go to formerly incarcerated people. And we've been pushing real hard for that. So that's going on right now. All of us are in Los Angeles is really pushing hard for Peace and Justice Summit that's coming up in October on the 26th. And what it is that we have a panel of legislators and we have our audience that will speak to them upon specific demands that we're talking about, all the way from housing, food stamps, housing, food stamps, and education, employment. These issues say to the people, these issues are, excuse me, I got a headache. I'm kind of sick, but let's move on. These issues that we are demanding of these people are things that they can do something about. And we're saying that we're holding you responsible. We're also pushing for 1 million new voters. We're teaching brothers and sisters who are formerly incarcerated how to vote, what they need to be reading and how they need to be reading and understanding the laws. And then we're also sending a message to the Democratic National Convention that you have to deal with urban policy. Obama grew up in urban policy, but guess what? He don't have no urban policy in the White House right now. And so these are the things that us formerly incarcerated people are doing that we need support on. We need everybody's support on how we can make our lives in our communities better. As a formerly incarcerated person, it took my determination to want to change. But some people don't have specific support systems in place that will help them along. And so this is what we do. Our organization is one that, we'll tackle anything, especially if it's unjust. There was another question that you
We can deal with that later. How can the community affect change in the prison system? You dealt with that, which is good. All right, thank you very much, hon. And also mention that you do have information on the table about the organization, yes. All of us and none. Now we're going to move to our brother Kevin Mackey. Oh yeah, we're going to get our question and answer after each one of the panelists make their 10-minute presentation, and then we're going to dabble into the question and answer. Kevin Mackey.
Can y'all hear me?
Yeah.
Is that all right for you?
Yeah.
What you doing?
Yeah.
All right.
You know, I got a big mouth, so y'all can hear me. You know? In fact, I used to hear my big mouth right across the street. That's why I smoke up my law license, all right? As I said, I'm part of the Skid Row community. I'm a Skid Row advocate. I gotta admit, I'm also part of the Skid Row LAPD. How about that?
Yeah.
LA Poverty Department.
Ah, get out of here. That was the setup. It's the Los Angeles Poverty Department, which is a Skid Row-based theater troupe. And we just completed a performance piece called State of Incarceration. It was based on people's personal experiences with inside the belly of the beast. And what was really ironic about the performance, which we performed, we brought the audience into these bunk beds. So you sat on the bunk, we actually brought you to try and recreate the prison experience. And just like the prison experience, although we only had room for 60 people, it was 30 double bunks, so that's like 60 people. Just like the prison system, each and every night, it got more and more and more crowded. I mentioned realignment. Realignment is the governor's plan to reduce the prison population. He didn't reduce the prison population because he wanted to. He was forced to reduce the prison population because first a federal three-judge panel and then the United States Supreme Court held that conditions within our prisons were so bad that they amounted to, that the medical and mental health treatment amounted to cruel and unusual punishment. As a result, they have to reduce the prison population. Do they have to reduce it to 50%? Do they have to reduce it to 70%, 90%, 100%? Hell no. They have to reduce it to 137%, which means that there's still going to be overcrowded dens of iniquity, right? And that's what they subject our people to, our mothers, sisters, brothers, family members, loved ones. This is what they're going. So when we talk of education, there's lots of educating going on there as to man's inhumanity to man. That's why what Critical Resistance talks about, we talk about a vision of a world where we no longer lock up people in cages, lock up men and women in cages in the name of justice. That ain't no justice. And so right now, and having been to prison, unfortunately, matter of fact, it was fortunate because, you know, that's where I needed to be for the moment, right? So that I could continue to educate myself to be an effective advocate when I get back out here on the streets. Education is new. What people are learning is how to be more callous, more inhumane with respect to each other. So now, right now, with realignment, which what in response to that Supreme Court case that says that you got to reduce the prison population over 3 years by someplace between 39 and 44,000, the governor, Jerry Brown, the liberal so-called, has decided that he's going to take them from the over certain felon, they call them non-non-nons, right? They already got a label for them and it starts with the letter N. And they're going to put these folks taken from the overcrowded prison system and put them down in the local county, overcrowded county jail system. However, out of adversity, just like my personal adversity got me to Skid Row, got me clean and sober here in the world's largest recovery community, this opens up the door and gives us an opportunity because they're going into new ground when folks like us been trying to make a dollar out of 15 cents all our life. We know how to make some good shit happen if they're going to help us, but we got to have a vision. That's why I'm pushing the vision of critical resistance and curve. All right, we got to envision a world and a life without prison. I hate to do this, but anybody else beside me been to prison or in jail up in here? All right, You know, something wrong, y'all. Okay? They got what they call the school-to-prison pipeline. And guess whose children goes it? If you look at that poster there, we got some posters that talk about California being number one in prison construction spending and number 50. Here we are, the Golden State. Number 50 in K-12 spending. The Bible talks about you can tell where a man's heart is by where he lays up his treasure. Our treasures go into building prison for your children and my children, not for educating them. So we got some work to do. But the first thing we got to do is to incorporate a vision as to what true safety is and how we want to respond to harm. You know where true safety comes from? Keeping the man in the house. Keeping the men in the community. Being accountable to each other. Getting the dope out of our communities. California, when once the war on drug was declared, there was like 20 or 30,000 people being held in the California prison. Then in 1985, nationwide, there were a million. It got it from 1840s or whenever the first prison was built up until 1985 before there was 1 million people put together, all incarcerated. Then from 1985 to 2000, it doubled. Why? The war on drugs. And the war on drugs is a war on the people, and primarily people of color. So I'm jumping around, but CURB has what's called a budget for humanity, right? This budget for humanity speaks to funding for treatment facilities, speaks to funding for educational facilities. One of the main ingredients and the main assets of CURB and of critical resistance is no new prisons, no new jail expansion, and only through the intervention of the courts. And let's understand something. These federal courts is people that are populated by conservative white men by and large. So this wasn't no liberal judge that just said, open the doors and let them out, right? So things were so bad that one person was needlessly dying per week in the prisons, which forced them over time. So we ask you, any of you to represent organizations or just there's papers over there talking about signing on to this budget for humanity that talks about the reallocation of funds from prison expansion and the expansion of the prison industrial complex to things that will really help. And then finally, there's also a paper called 50 Ways to Reduce the Number of People in Prison in California. Some of these, now this has been around for more than a decade, and then I'll shut up, right? Some of these, as a result of the crisis situation, have been incorporated into this reentry thing. So removing state prison as a sentence option, right? They have done that for these 999. So you get convicted of certain nonviolent, non-sex, non-serious crimes, you're going to be sentenced to the already overcrowded, under indictment county jail system rather than going to state prison. Eliminate disparity in sentence between crack and powder cocaine. I'm not going to do the numbers. That's already been done on the federal level. Implement policies such as intermediate sanctions. So when you're on parole and you get violated and they end up sending you back to the state pen, for certain they've got this non-revocable parole. So there was 10 of these 50 that have already been enacted. What I'm saying to you, that what we need to do, we need to be vigilant. We need to be militant. We need to create our own vision of what our communities could be, keeping our men. And when our men make mistakes, yes, there's something called restorative justice. Right now, if I do harm to you, right, they don't make me make restitution to you. They lock me up, and maybe you limping along. So now that's two brothers out the way. You understand what I'm saying? So this budget for humanity speaks to ways that we can create our own vision of safety and work together towards making things better. Thank y'all. Mm-hmm.
That was excellent. Okay, we're going to move to Keith James, and then we're going to open up the floor for Q&A. So, Mr. Keith James.
Thank you. It was a few points to stimulate the Q&A. I mean, I think there's different ways to come at this question. I think one thing is when you get down to it, in the final analysis, we need revolution and nothing short and nothing less. And then we do need to put together a whole other kind of a society that would be uprooting exploitation and oppression. And frankly, this is possible.